your spiritual path and all that. Take it easy, relax. Kick back, put your feet up.
Smoke
you
a
want
lot
a cup of coffee?
No. I'll never get to sleep. I was born in Linwood, California, and I'm the second child, and I have two brothers and a sister. My father is a nuclear engineer and also an active alcoholic. Doesn't use while he works. And my mother has an eating disorder problem and weighs about 400 pounds. And I grew up pretty much in I felt like an outsider. And I felt like there was nothing I could ever do that could please my parents. I got straight A's and that was never good enough. I had a bladder disorder while I was growing up, so that, you know, I'd be in school and the kids would make fun of me because I couldn't control my bladder. And I grew up with that, with the same kids in a Catholic school. And so, you know, I had a lot of resentments growing up because I was a victim. And society had put all of these things on me. And nothing was my fault. I never made any mistakes. Society did it. I had the first time I ever used any kind of mood-altering substance, I was 15 years old. And I was at home babysitting for my little sister. And I decided I wanted to find out why my father enjoyed drinking so much and, you know, what the big brouhaha was. And so I took everything that was white out of the liquor cabinet and I mixed it all together in a water glass and drank it down real quick and immediately threw it up. But I was so intent on finding out what the whole thing was about, you know, what it did to you. I knew that everybody acts differently after they drank. But I wanted to find out what it would do to me.
Yeah.
So I mixed everything that was white, and I was certain to water everything down too, and put it into. Bye, Marie. I put it into a water glass, drank it down, and this time it stayed down. And I thought it was wonderful. All of a sudden, music sounded better. I felt better. I felt more confident in myself. I even felt confident enough to call a boy. I mean, and the first question he asked me is if I'd been drinking. And I obviously said no, because I was certain that if he found out I'd been drinking, he wouldn't like me anymore. The next time, with the same boy that I called, I was at his brother's wedding, and I got extremely drunk on champagne and ended up dancing and screwing around with probably four guys at that wedding. And embarrassed this guy in front of his family, and embarrassed myself. But yet I continued to go back for more. I dated guys that were generally not very nice to me, and I thought that, you know, I should probably, you know, I went out with guys to validate me. I only went out with football players because I thought that was the thing to do, and that's what the popular people did, and I craved to be one of the popular people. But I ended up with, like, the football player rejects, the ones that could barely make JVs. And subsequently, they had their own problems and took a lot of it out on me. They did not treat me well. But I thought that's the way it was. I was not used to being treated well. I never really felt loved as a kid, and I thought love came in getting slapped across the face or screamed at or berated. And so that's what I looked for. Later on, I met a guy who was a West Point cadet and decided that he was going to take me out of all of this shit. And so I dated him and had a long distance relationship with him, and we decided we were going to get married. So I ran away from home at 19 and moved to New York so I could be near this guy to make sure he was the one I wanted to marry. And there was nothing that was going to stop me from marrying him anyway. He had already started beating up on me and always reminded me of what a shitty person I was. And I believed this about myself because I was always told this. I didn't know any better. I don't mention any drug or any drug usage or getting high right now because it just wasn't part of the picture. I was into self-abuse more than drug abuse, and which is the same thing, I guess. We got married, and he was stationed down at Fort Hood, Texas. And we lived at Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas, and bought a house. We did all the things that, like, normal American married people do. We wanted to live the American dream, or so I thought that's what we were doing. So we were living there, and we met up with a fellow that he had gone to school with, and this person used drugs, and of course my husband was no, that's illegal, we can't do that. The first time, I remember feeling so excited being around pot, and I had used it a couple of times when I was a teenager, and I remember I liked it, but it was just not a part of my life. And I remember being very excited seeing this pot, and then my husband quashing the idea of using pot. And of course, I did not want to do anything which might make him angry. For some reason that day, I didn't want to get beaten up. So the next time we went out with these people, we returned to these people as friends, and I think it was because I desperately wanted something that would make things different, and I thought the answer was in drugs. So we used, for the first time, I guess in about 2 years, I had smoked pot. And I then progressed to using pot on a daily basis. When I woke up in the morning, on lunch breaks, on my way to work, on my way home from work, being at home, I smoked pot like I smoked cigarettes. I mean, if pot was sold in packs, I'd probably smoke 2 packs a day. And I thought that people who didn't smoke pot were deprived of some great insight into their inner being, and I thought that I had found the answer, and nothing hurt. You know, my husband could beat me up all he wanted, nothing hurt, and it was great because I didn't have to think about it. We began dealing pot shortly after that. I never in my life bought 1 ounce of pot. I started at pounds and immediately began dealing it because I wanted to support the habit. I tried at one time to quit smoking, and I went for 2 weeks. I knew it was doing something different to me, and I quit smoking pot for 2 weeks during that period of time, and I remember the frustration of trying to talk with somebody who was high on pot while I wasn't using, but then the pain got so bad, I went back, and that continued for a period of about 2 years, and we moved to Washington, D.C. He got out of the Army. He was a diabetic. So he got out of the Army, no problem, and went to work as an engineer with some warmonger place up here. Shortly after that, I left him, and I went wild. I mean, if you had a drug, I would take it. If there wasn't any drugs, then there was always something available to change my mood. I I never really went into mourning over leaving this guy, but then he was an asshole anyway. I mean, it was probably one of the best things, aside from getting clean, that I've ever done in my life. But I moved from guy to guy. I used the toilet seat as a pillow a lot of times. Yeah, I woke up in a lot of bathrooms. I woke up in a lot of strange places. And I finally met this one guy. I mean, after a whole chain of guys, I could not be alone. I could not be with myself. It was too terrifying. And I met this guy, and he was in a fellowship, a 12-step program. And I thought, this guy is the answer to everything. And I started going into meetings with him, and not realizing that perhaps I might have a problem. I used, while I was going out with him, never in front of him. And I'm sure, you know, he was newly clean, so he didn't, you know, he wasn't really paying attention to the signals. Well, I decided that I would join a fellowship so that I could get to know this guy and understand his soul, and so that he would never leave me. One addiction to another. And I ended up getting pregnant, and 5 months later we broke up, and that was the end of it, and I was carrying a baby. And I was very scared, and it was the first time I ever had to ask anybody for help aside from a man. I was 5 months pregnant and showing, and there was no man in the world that was going to be willing to fix me this time. I was real fixed. And so I had to ask people in the fellowship for help. And that was, I didn't know how to do that. I had to call on women. I didn't know how to do that. Women were always a threat to me. They always were competition. They were never, I could never be a friend with a woman. It ended up that a lot of people took care of me during my first year. And, I mean, the most incredible things. One guy saved his money, his coins, and at the end of the year he would roll them all up and buy himself a bunch of jazz albums. Well, he gave me all of his rolled coins when I was out of a job and I had a baby and I didn't know what to do. And he gave me his money and never asked for it back. I almost gave my daughter up for adoption, and I remember, I think people said, you know, don't make any major decisions in your first year. And of course I was forced to make a decision. I was either going to be a mommy or be a real basket case. And I took my daughter to the adoption agency when she was a day old and dropped her off. And I walked out of there, and I realized it was the biggest mistake I ever made. Fortunately, there are laws which say, you know, you don't have to sign anything. And so I went back. I called a couple people, and I told them how I was feeling. And they said, you know, it's okay if you want to be a mommy. You know, some people don't have to make these kind of decisions in their first year. But it was somebody saying it's okay, and that's all it took. So I took my last weekend of being a free person and went out to a lot of meetings and talked with a lot of people, and I went and picked up my daughter that Monday. And I've never regretted it. People in the program after they found out I kept the baby, they threw a surprise baby shower for me and gave me everything I needed for the first year of this kid's life. And from there, I think, you know, it's just indescribable the amount of growth and the deepening friendships that I have. I never had real friends before, never had people that I could count on in a crunch. You know, like I do now. And I've never been able to say, you can count on me in a crunch. And now I can say that. You know, now I can make myself available to the kind of feelings and the kind of help that people need and the kind of help that I need. I can ask for help. And I don't have to look for, you know, anybody who has a dick between his legs to give me help. You know, I can get help through people in the fellowship who just understand. And thanks. The end of the story as far as what happened with me and being a single mommy, that was pretty rough, and I don't recommend it for anybody. But it was something, if I had not kept that child, if I had not been pregnant, there was no way on earth I would have been clean. And I know that today. And I remember my sponsor telling me, you know, whatever it takes to keep you clean is whatever it takes. And at that time it was the kid. Now I have a family, I'm married. My husband has adopted the baby. She's 4 years old. And I'm, you know, I don't have all of the things associated with a successful life, but I have something inside of me that I wouldn't give $1 million, or I wouldn't take $1 million to give up. And it's an inner peace. It's something that I can go back to when things get really rough, when, you know, work is driving me nuts or the kid is driving me nuts. If I can find that place which NA has given me, you know, it's just to focus there. And I don't claim to be a highly spiritual person or anything like that. I think I'm just trying to make it through every day. I probably should mention that I'm also a recovering Catholic. And the kind of spirituality that was taught to me as a child is nothing like what I ever dreamed. It's nothing like what I have now. It's not what I ever expected it to be. I always felt very guilty. And I don't feel guilt anymore, unless, of course, I do something wrong, and I know I'm doing it wrong, but I don't feel guilty for being alive. I don't feel like I committed any great sin for living, and that's how I used to always feel. Like, you know, I was a professional victim, and I'm, you know, although I've been recovering now for almost 5 years, I can slip back into that so easily. And when I slip back into that, it reminds me of when I was using and how I felt. And I also know that I never have to feel that way again.